Hi, I'm Claire Hodge. I'm here at Potatoes in Practice in Dundee. I've just chaired a seminar about the loss of chemicals in the potato industry. It's a big challenge for us, and sometimes we feel really under attack, but we can see some positives within what we do. We're constantly losing chemistry, but we can find solutions as well, and sometimes the solutions we find are really proactive and innovative in bringing new ideas to the industry.
And we're up here in Dundee. Looking across these sites, there's two machines on demonstration, and there's definitely differences to the way that they've performed. A lot of that is down to the setup of the machinery, so it's not a simple case you can just buy one off the shelf and replace what you're doing. There's a lot of learns to be made, so yeah, we're here seeing what we can get from it to try and add value back on farm.
The fantastic thing about Potatoes in Practice is just the sheer breadth of demo plots that are available. We've got all of the variety plots, as always, which are fantastic to have a look at. There's a lot going on at the moment in the industry, the loss of CIPC and DIPOT, and growers are going to have to start looking at the more holistic approach to their growing strategy. And some of those newer varieties with longer dormancy or with less vigorous canopy could be the options that they have available to them.
What struck me is that at one level people feel we've never had quite so many big issues that we're grappling with. You know, it could be a fundamental restructure of the industry depending on what people eat and the consolidation of the industry and Brexit and public goods. And there seems to be in the field so many people being willing to look radically at how they're going to cultivate potatoes.
You're listening to the HDB podcast. Farming news and stories from across the UK. As you may have guessed from the introduction, this edition of the HDB podcast comes from Potatoes in Practice in Dundee. Over 400 people turned up to a muddy but thankfully sunny event where the focus, both in the seminars and the plots, was on the loss of chemistry, the importance of nutrition and the situation with exports post-Brexit. I managed to catch up with speakers from the event who gave us an overview of what the potato industry has in store. Firstly, you'll hear from Greg Dawson of Scottish Agronomy, who talked about the alternative chemicals following the loss of DIQOT.
My name's Greg Dawson, I'm an agronomist with the Scottish Agronomy, advising on potatoes and cereals, but talking this morning about desiccation in the post-DIQOT era.
So, I mean, obviously, post-DIQOT is quite an important time for the industry. What exactly is it you've been telling the attendees today?
Well, I think one of the important things is possibly let's not panic. We've had these kind of changes imposed on us before with the loss of acid, which happened fairly recently. At that time, there were some concerns in the industry that some fairly catastrophic things were happening. I think there are some big challenges there without DIQOT. It's definitely the product of choice for taking down mature leaves in canopies. It's certainly been recognised as being stronger than the alternatives we've had up until now. So I think we do need to look about how we do use combinations of chemical treatments and potentially mechanical as well, but they may not be appropriate in all crop situations.
What do you think it is going forward then? Is it just a case of a bit of trial and error, or do you think the answers are there, it's just a case of us trying to explore those a bit more?
I think some of the answers are there. Certainly there was a lot of work done back when we lost sulfuric acid as one of our options. So there was work done there that possibly poses the right questions that we need to be asking ourselves. I think we are aware that mechanical options, whilst they would be potentially useful in combination with chemical, aren't going to be suitable for all crops. And I think we might need to get creative about how we use the existing chemistry. We've also got some new products a new product in development based around pelargonic acid, which there's a lot of work going on that, as I'll call them commercial look-sees this year. That type of material isn't new. It is new into this particular market. I think it says something that it's been around in the immunity for quite some time, but it hasn't transferred across as long as DIQOT was there in its place. So I think intrinsically we are looking at something, I'll say different rather than weaker, and we just need to get our heads around exactly how to use that in combination with other products and, as I say, potentially mechanical treatments as well.
So, not obviously wanting to take anything away, but in the short term, what would be your take-home message for people who are visiting Potatoes in Practice today? What is the one thing that you want people to
to really sort of hit home with them.
I think the take-home messages for today are relatively simple. We need to start planning for desiccation 2020 now. For crop situations where it is appropriate to use mechanical treatments, I was specifically talking about high-grade seed crops this morning, which is a specific situation. We may have reasons there for wanting to minimise our use of mechanical treatments. That's not to say we're excluding them, but we may find them less appropriate. In other situations, I think mechanical treatments such as flails are going to be important. If you are moving into that, have you actually got flails available? Does your planting setup allow you to effectively use a flail? Flails aren't just quite as simple as you think. It's not a case of putting some in the seat and let them walk up and down the field. They do need to be set properly. They do need to match the planting system, the drill width, they need to be well set up and a well-managed process. To have the maximum amount of chemistry available to use in the autumn, because at the moment we don't have all the answers. A lot of trials work going on at the moment, and I would suggest you watch carefully about what information is coming out from HDB and other sources, but you need to think carefully about how you're going to manage available chemistry next year. We do have products or active ingredients that cross over from the contact herbicide market to desiccation, and depending on what you select for your product at herbicide timing, it may have a knock-on effect as to what you've got left available to you at desiccation. So there's a conversation you have in here with the agronomist about what's the correct deployment of the active ingredients that we've got left available to us. And I think at the moment, watch the space on pelargonic acid as well. I would expect some information to be coming out on that. And we need to have the maximum number of tools available to us. There's still a registration issue hurdle to overcome with pelargonic acid, but I think it's potentially a tool that could be useful in combination with other things.
I then spoke to Professor Derek Stewart of the James Hutton Institute, who discussed research carried out on potato nutrition, how the consumer plays a huge part in our industry, and what we can do to support the spud establish itself as part of a balanced diet.
I'm Professor Derek Stewart, and I work at the James Hutton Institute.
So what is it exactly you've been talking about today, Derek?
I'm actually updating on what we did for you guys on potato and human nutrition, just to update you on the new stories that are coming out that are actually enshrining that potato is a fantastic part of the human diet.
This is really timely in terms of things that we've got currently in the news at the moment. So why should people be eating potatoes? What's the reason behind it?
It tastes fantastic. I mean, let's be straightforward. But they can deliver a huge amount of the recommended daily requirements for you for nutrition, whether it's energy, micronutrients, macronutrients, vitamins, the whole piece. It delivers a huge part of that. And then when you build that on top of that, look at the formats you can have it in. Baked, mashed, boiled, the lot. I mean, there's no other veg you can think of to deliver all that.
So, I mean, there's obviously got to be other uses for it as well. I mean, there's got to be thousands of things that we can do with the potato. So
I think we need a bit more imagination in the process industry. And I think potatoes become a bogeyman because it's got carbohydrate for diet. Obviously, if you eat far too much of it, same with bread, you're going to have problems. But as part of a balanced diet, you can process potato to a degree and change how the starch is set up, which means it doesn't release sugar as much. So if we started making things like ready-to-cook noodles, which you can do with potato, be a huge market for that. People love noodles.
So you honestly think that, like, going forward, there is a market for people eating potato noodles? Do you think this could be?
You can put potato on almost anything you've already got starch in.
Yeah.
I mean, why not have potato pizza bases? It's not a daft idea.
No, absolutely not.
It's a process challenge. But because of all the vitamins and nutrients that are coming with it, why not?
So are you generally challenging people as to what they can do with it, or is it teaching people what the nutrition side of it is? Or
a bit of A, a bit of B. I mean, the studies coming in are showing that the preconceived ideas that potatoes are bad for coronary heart disease and cardiovascular disease, the studies suggest that's completely wrong. There is no correlation. Obviously, if you're going to eat a kilos of potatoes at one sitting every day, you're going to hit problems there. But as part of a moderate diet, it's fine.
I think that would go with anything, though, wouldn't it? I mean, if I was to eat carrots every day, I'd
find
the same.
If you sit down and have 8 pints every day, yeah, it's going to hit problems. So yeah, anything, yeah. Moderation's the whole thing, and potato forms a great part of that. We can grow fantastically well in the UK. If we can link that to new products, we're on a bloody winner.
So why is it you're actually trying to get out of your talk today, then? Well, what do you want people to...
What I want is actually people to, particularly the growers, to get it in their mind that what they're growing is not just another vegetable. It's something that could make a valuable contribution to health. there are multiple products that can go for it. They may want then want to think about, actually, maybe I can make noodles from it. They might want to extend their actually business opportunities and link to, or link to other people that are doing something like that, but using their source. The recent governmental report on climate change is pushing heavily for a plant-based diet. Potato fits that well, but we maybe need to vary the formats we're getting potato in.
Okay, so just sort of finally then, what is your one take-home message for people today? What do you want people to...
Keep potato in your diet. Moderate amount, 150 grams a day, that's fine. Look at the ways you can have it. Just don't rule it out. And get it into the kids, because they need the nutrition early.
I also caught up with head of SASA, Jerry Sadler, who provided an overview of the current export structure and how the landscape might change post-Brexit.
I'm Jerry Sadler, I'm the head of SASA and the Chief Plant Health Officer for Scotland.
So you've obviously just come out of the seminar now for this afternoon. What were your key messages there? What were you trying to get across?
I think what we're trying to get across is that for us to be a successful country and ensure that pests and diseases are not introduced into the country, that all of us have a part to play. So that's industry, government and organisations such as HDB Potatoes, really. So all of us have to work together to ensure that we maintain a healthy potato crop.
So obviously we're looking at trying to get the best seed possible. There's a lot of work going into that. So what is it that SASA are doing in terms of that to make it better, to improve that quality?
Well, SASA's the certifying authority within Scotland. So we train the inspectors, we work with the inspectors to ensure that our seed crops are as healthy as they can possibly be. We're responsive, so if problems develop within season, that we're there on hand to offer advice both to growers and to the inspector themselves. And that we work very closely, really, sort of with colleagues in other countries, particularly exporting countries, to ensure really that when we export potatoes to those countries, it moves as smoothly as possible.
What is it that your messages that you've picked up from today, from the feeling around the place, what is it you picked up?
I mean, clearly there's a lot of concern about Brexit and the uncertainty of the future, but I think that one of the things which I always take great comfort from is that we work in an incredibly dynamic and innovative industry, really, sort of, and it's not beyond the wit of us collectively to actually get through some of these difficult periods in front of us. So I actually feel that, you know, the future really, that you know, we have the ability to get through this. Sure, there's going to be a period of uncertainty and there's going to be some problems, really, particularly posed to us by Brexit, but I'm optimistic.
Thank you to everyone who contributed to this podcast, particularly the James Hutton Institute, who hosted the event. Once again, Potatoes in Practice has taken on some of the sector's biggest issues, and no doubt next year there will be even more to discuss. You can find all of the information and links to the HTB website in the notes section of this podcast. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode, which comes from HTB Beef and Lamb, where Emma Steele, breeding specialist for Signet Services, talks to farmers Jamie Wild and Andrew Walton about what traits they would look for when buying a Signet recorded ram, as well as their involvement with the Signet and Ram Compare project.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening.